stock bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Bauer Power Hour with host Roger Bauer. Here you will learn the latest tools and techniques in public relations, media interactions, and word-of-mouth marketing. Now, here's your host, Roger Bauer.
A great Thirsty Thursday to you in Louisville, Kentucky. I am your host, Roger Bauer, and you're tuned into the Bauer Power Hour. Sales and marketing is the overall general theme to the show, and I've been blessed to have some great guests join me to discuss business growth and achieving success. Today is no different. I'm really excited about today's show. Let me start off by asking you a few questions. Are you looking to crack into corporate accounts, speed up your sales cycle, increase demand for your offering, get new sellers up to speed quickly, achieve revenue growth goals? Selling your products or marketing your services to big companies isn't easy. Traditional sales training methodologies aren't effective in today's market. To penetrate these big accounts and win business with them, you need a fresh approach using a whole new set of sales skills and selling strategies. Jill Conrath is a recognized sales strategist in the business-to-business marketplace and the author of Selling to Big Companies. Hailed as an instant sales classic, her new book has already attained bestseller status. As a popular speaker at national sales meetings and in industry events, Jill helps salespeople, entrepreneurs, and business professionals crack into corporate accounts, speed up their sales cycle, create demand for their offering, and achieve their revenue growth goals. Jill, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing all right. A little rainy here in Louisville, but you know that's the way it goes. Let me start off asking a few questions about the book, although I'm sure you get asked this a billion times. First off, what was the inspiration for writing Selling to Big Companies?
Well, the inspiration really was a result of what had happened to my own business at that particular, or shortly before I wrote the book, the previous couple of years, and I had been working with a couple large corporations that were, and as a consultant, which meant that I can't have a lot of clients because I was wide and deep with several large corporations that were in my part of town, and both of them hit some bad times at one at the same time, and I lost my entire client base and was literally, my whole business was obliterated.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't
yeah,
easy.
Can't be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, and literally 95% of my business was wiped out. I had 5 months booked solid with these clients that work disappeared and it never came back. And
wow.
I had no prospects in the pipeline because I was already booked out so far in advance. And so what really happened is I really had a bad year, quite frankly, and it took me a while to rebuild the business. But when I finally was ready to go forward to the marketplace, and I took some time to restructure and rethink who I was and what I wanted to do at that time. When I went back to the marketplace to set up appointment with corporate decision makers, all I got was voicemail. Nobody ever
right.
answered the phone. All I got was voicemail, and nobody ever called me back.
Voicemail hell, as some people like to call
voicemail
it.
Voicemail hell. And you
yeah.
know, I was so discouraged. I mean, I was literally totally discouraged because one of my best strengths before had been getting clients and getting my foot in the door. And suddenly, this something that I had, you know, been so good at and then literally had to hold myself back on prospecting because I created more work than I could possibly deliver as
right.
as an independent consultant. Suddenly, you know, I was a failure. And I didn't.
So you had to reinvent yourself.
I had to not only had I reinvent myself, but then I had to relearn a new skill. And at first I was depressed, thinking, "Oh my God, I'm over the hill. I've lost my mojo, and I haven't got it anymore." And
right.
then I started talking to other people and found out it wasn't just me.
Right.
That everybody was struggling with, you know, no one answering the phone, all calls rolling to voicemail, no one calling them back. And I finally realized that this was a sales challenge. And much as I liked other people's sales challenges, because I was a sales consultant helping them with their problems, I now was given one of my own to solve. And so I literally spent the next year working out and creating a replicable system that anybody with the appropriate analysis of their own business could leverage to get their foot in the door. So that's
right.
why I wrote the book, because once I found out what it was, I have this tendency to share what I know with other people. And I have a lot of good friends who were really struggling, and so I wrote the book for them.
Yeah, and the same, I've got a similar story to share. That's kind of how I stumbled onto search engine optimization. It was one of those things that I've got to figure out how to do this and figure out how to market my business more effectively, and that led me down the whole search engine optimization path, and next month we'll have this book that comes out and a training series and all that other fun stuff. But it's kind of similar that when you're, I guess, in the deepest of valleys, that forces you to kind of take stock of what's going on and inventory and figure out, all right, how do I overcome this huge obstacle and what's going to take me to the top of the mountain?
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of trainers and coaches kind of face that same dilemma of, you know, wow, things are not going the way I thought they were going to go. How can I overcome this and how can I become successful?
Well,
then,
you know, the reality of it is, too, is I read a statistic during that time frame when I was switching. I did a pro bono project for Ventures Magazine, which was for the emerging, small and emerging business community. And one of the statistics I found out in the research I did for them on this project where I was helping them evaluate their media kit, I learned that 75% of entrepreneurs shut their doors, not because they're in debt, but because they're not making enough money to keep the doors open. And they're working so many hours, and they're just not getting the sales coming in. And when I read that, it was just like a whack on the side of the head saying to me, you need to help these smaller businesses. I mean, here they are, these good, talented people. They've left the corporate world or you know, taken a risk and left other people's employment and started something on their own. They have a lot to bring to the table. They have great expertise, great product service ideas, and yet they're stuck because they don't know how to market and sell their services.
Right.
And so it's a huge issue with the smaller firms.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's 1 in 25 only sees it, makes it to see 10 years, and I think it's 4 out of 5 only last 2 years. As soon as you open your doors, you're already up against the statistics and trying to overcome some huge obstacles. And I think people get into business and they think, wow, this is really going to be fun. I can get away from the corporate world. And then it's like, wow, they're not prepared for everything that's coming their way. And I think sales is probably the thing they struggle with most.
I think so, too. And the reality of it is that I see a lot of entrepreneurs doing is I see them being afraid to pursue business with the larger corporations early on in their career because they think they need to prove themselves with smaller companies first. And so they'll target small and medium-sized businesses to do marketing, their marketing communications or any of their work. And so they put themselves into the most price-sensitive of all markets, the small and medium-sized business, especially small business. So they're trying to sell their services to the very people who have the least amount of money to spend on it, and you know, the money comes out of their own pocket. And so they're thinking, do I put shoes on my kids, you know, for this fall when they go back to school, or do I invest in a consultant? And when they do invest in something, they want to spend as least money and get it done with as fast as possible. So people that sell to the small, mid-sized business are in a constant state of sales and marketing because each project they have is small, and they need a constant stream of new people coming in, and they're working with people who won't hire them on a repeat and ongoing basis. And that's why it's so important to be able to sell to big companies.
Right, and I was also going to add to that the small and medium business, they want results quick because they have to have results quickly, so they're going to put a lot of pressure on an outside consultant to, hey, this has to be top of the line, this has to address every one of my needs, or they're not going to be happy. So it's kind of one of those, you're almost entering a win-lose situation right out of the chute.
It's absolutely a win-lose situation, and it's whether you're selling products or services. They want to buy the least amount they can. They can't order. They don't, you know, they can't stock up. It's just like, especially if you're in the services businesses, they want the maximum they can get from you that they can wring out of you and squeeze out of you in the least amount of time with the least amount of money. And they don't understand the value of your work either. I mean, I was just talking to my daughter who is in the services business, and right now she has a client who has run way over in terms of the number of hours that she's supposed to be investing on the website, and it's been stop, start, you know, because this small business that she's working with on their website development, they get taken away by other priorities of the business, and so then they say, well, we can't do this and we can't do this. And then, you know, 2 months later, they expect her to come back and jump into it and pick up at the same level of, you know, expertise. But she has to go spend hours bringing herself back to a strong point.
Oh, yeah, because you got to get reacclimated to where you were at that point, and then
right.
it's almost impossible to go back and tap into exactly where you were mentally or even physically.
Right, and if you're trying to do creative work for them or help them think of how to, you know, have a website that works or do a marketing campaign, whatever, I mean, the stop-start requires constant additional hours to do that. And so here's my daughter who's in the same situation. She's working with a small business who doesn't understand the stop-start time and the cost, the uptake cost that she has
right.
to have to get back to proficiency in order to work with her. So my daughter's going to have, you know, she called me, you know, just 15 minutes ago to say, how do I address this with her? But
right.
that's what a lot of small businesses get themselves into if they're trying to sell their services, and they target the small businesses and the medium businesses first to prove that they can do it, and they actually get themselves into a deeper bind. They feel less competent because these clients are never satisfied.
yeah. We've faced a lot with a couple of the guys that I partner with locally is we've chased a couple smaller businesses, and it's exactly that. The first question is, okay, so who else have you done this for? And then we look back at them and say, well, we've understood that you were going to ask that question, and here's our response, and we lay it out, and we're giving you a pricing break in order to kind of be the maiden voyage or the guinea pig or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then it ends up being that downward spiral to where, okay, they're going to pressure us on price, which I've always said price is the least of issues if you've done your job on the front end. So it's how do you do your job on the front end to get price out of the way so you can express the value that you truly bring to the table, and then
right.
also show them here's the return you're going to get on it.
Right.
We're just about to our first break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how businesses can eliminate price as one of the main barriers to entry. And also we'll talk a little bit more about how you do access large companies so you can get over that small to medium business, not only mindset, but that hurdle, so you can start making money as a smaller business and a kind of a one-man band, because I know we have a lot of those that tune into the show. You are listening to the Bauer Power Hour with my guest, Jill Conrath. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
SMB Consulting helps businesses attract a greater share of their target audience, which means generating more leads and ultimately increasing sales. Your business will benefit from proven marketing techniques customized to meet your needs and deliver your business's message to those who wish to receive it most. Whether you need a fresh marketing plan developed, greater strategic focus, or search engine optimization campaigns, SMB will be there every step of the way to help you achieve the results you desire. Don't let your competition get the upper hand. Contact a marketing consultant today by visiting our website at SMBConsultingInc.com or emailing info@SMBConsultingInc.com.
Link up with Chris Curtis on WebWise Business and discover the millionaire in you. If it's the web you want, it's the web we've got, and it's the chic geek bringing it to you live. Tune in to WebWise Business every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
Get your click on. Get your click on
with the Chic Geek.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 459-4825. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You've been listening to the Bauer Power Hour with host Roger Bauer. If you have a question or comment for Roger or his guest, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to Roger and the Bauer Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Bauer Power Hour. We're talking today with Jill Conrath. And before the break, started to mention some things about pricing and how small and medium businesses want to beat consultants and small businesses down on price because they can't afford some of the higher ticket services. And also, you've got an instance where the beginning firms have trouble expressing their true value to other businesses. Jill, talk a little bit about how once you do get your foot in the door with a business, how you can eliminate or at least reduce the impact that pricing has as a deterrent to do business with somebody.
Well, first of all, I would have to say that I can't tell you about how to do that until I talk about how to get in.
Okay, let's talk about how you get in.
Because literally the premise of why you're meeting with the client is different based on how you tee up the conversation when you actually do reach a client. And so if we could hold that question and start with how do you get in.
No, that's beautiful.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
All right. That's good.
That ties in with what I was going to ask anyway, so it works out perfect.
Yeah, well, the reality of it is most small businesses and most salespeople from any businesses don't know how to describe what they do in a way that prevents that kind of obstacle from occurring. And so it really, a salesperson or a business owner needs to really start thinking about how to talk about their business differently in conversations with potential clients, and that relates to, like, when you actually do get a human being on the phone or mm-hmm. they call you back because you've left a good message, how do you describe what you do? And so one of the most important things I tell sellers today is they really need to be able to clearly articulate their value proposition. And a lot of people have no concept of what the term value proposition is, and they've been instructed that in from a marketing standpoint, they really need to focus on their unique selling proposition, which is how you're different from everybody else. And so all these small companies, you know, they work extensively trying to say how they're different from anybody else, but they don't really feel different from anybody else, to tell you the truth.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe you're in marketing communications, or maybe you're in, you know, healthcare or whatever, but your company isn't really all that unique. There are other companies out there. And so you try to say, people end up saying things like, you know, like we're passionate about what we do and we have a full range of services to meet all your blankety blank needs.
Right.
And they, you know, and that one stop shopping for all your.
Right. Or another one of my personal favorites is we've been in business for 25 years.
25 years. And you know, they're proud of it. They think it really makes a difference and sets them apart from all those fly-by-night operations that, you know, that started in the last year or two.
Right.
And the reality of it is if you use that kind of terminology in talking to a decision maker, they're going to say, we're already using so-and-so. I mean,
right.
It just automatically sets up a conversation about a competitor. You know, you call and you say, we offer a full range of marketing communication services for all your, you know, advertising, PR, and marketing needs. And they will say, well, we're already working with so-and-so's agency.
Right.
Boom. You know, you're on the defensive, and you don't know what to do. And then
right.
you say, well, would you ever consider looking for another vendor or, you know, getting a second opinion? And they say, well, no, we're real happy.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're looking at the scoreboard, then you're already down.
You're
already behind.
Right, and then sellers will try to, you know, think, well, if we could offer you a better pricing on it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, now we've got a pricing issue, and we're creating it ourselves. And we're actually trying to go after the person who will abandon their current relationships for the cheapest alternative, which is always somebody who'll go cheaper to get the business.
Right.
And so all this, you know, let me tell you who we are. We're, you know, a full-service company that offers all this from A to Z, and, you know, we can handle all your blank needs. Whatever it is, product or service, is exactly the wrong kind of messaging, and it's exactly what people tell you to say.
Right.
Tell you to say, you know, tell them that you offer a full range of services from A to Z, you know, and that you're passionate and you care about your business and you really care about your customers.
Another one of my favorites that I've seen that drives me through the roof every time I do see it is you've got these companies who think that their value proposition centers around experience the blah, blah, blah difference, where blah, blah, blah is the company name.
Yeah.
What is that? You know, what is the difference? You're not telling me anything. It's
right.
You need to experience the, you know, SMB difference.
Oh,
what is that?
What be?
Yeah. Tell me what that is, and then maybe I might go, there's something in it for me.
Yep. I'm meeting with the head of a large architecture firm coming up soon, and I've been asked to meet with this person by their business development people because they have been told that what they need to stress in the marketplace and that their biggest value proposition is that their architects and people on staff are smarter than
right.
the other people. And that's what they got down to. Well, we're smarter. I mean, tell them we're smarter. Like, sure, that's really going to open the doors, you know.
How do you qualify and quantify that, you know, in comparison to, you know,
right. And so what if you're smarter, you know? I mean, what does that mean you do? And they're unable to articulate their value proposition. And going back to that, the value proposition is a statement about business outcomes. And it's what
right.
happens as a result of somebody working with you.
Right.
So it's the ability to say that you shorten sales cycles, that you speed up conversion rates, that you increase sales by 16% or their average order size by 32.4% in 4 days or
right.
4 weeks, 4 months. But it's the ability to talk in business terminology about what you do as opposed
right.
to describing your product or service or describing the adjectives and adverbs that describe your products and service. And so if people are getting into price objections when they're meeting with clients, it's because their whole foundation is rotten.
Right.
You know, if it's rotten at the foundation, then it's rotten wherever you go with it. And so I the first thing I always talk to my clients about is how to craft a value proposition that really talks about the business difference that you make. And if somebody uses your product or service, what outcomes do they get? Because that's all they care about.
Right.
That's all they care about.
I can share a story on that is, I talked in the previous segment about how we've had some companies look back and go, you know, who have you done this before? We went into a different client and came at them with, we can help you increase revenues by 5% or more annually. We can reduce your time to a deal by 25%. Suddenly, we're not having the pricing conversation. Suddenly, we're not having the who have you done this before conversation. It totally changed the dynamic of not only selling, but the relationship with that decision maker.
Yeah.
Because then they're looking at us going, oh, yeah, I would like to increase my revenues by 5% or more
right.
per year.
Right.
I would like to reduce my time to a deal by 25%. If you can take one out of four steps out of our sales cycle, yeah, let's talk about that.
Absolutely. And for example, one of the things I do with clients is I do sales training. You know, and
right.
And I could say, hi, this is Jill. You know, I'd like to talk with you about your sales training needs. And they're going to say to me, well, we already work with XYZ firm.
Uh-huh.
You know, so then I'm thrown out. But if I can call up and say, you know, I can talk with you about speeding up your sales velocity, shortening your ramp-up time on new product launches, you know, and stuff like that, improving return to profitability or time to profitability on product launches, then suddenly they don't say, how much do you cost? I mean, they literally don't say, what is your price? They say,
right.
oh, that's interesting. Tell me more.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that the funny part was is when we changed this going in there, the guys that I work with was kind of worried about, you know, I'm pretty sure this person's going to beat us up on price. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't say anything. He didn't look back and go, well, that's high or that's, you know, that I'm surprised at that or, wow, I'm really taken aback. Wasn't even an issue.
It's not
because we had spoken in terms that mattered to him, and also we were addressing issues that, yeah, I want to increase my sales. You guys wouldn't be here if it weren't for that.
Right, right. And
so you
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the VP of sales, who is my primary contact in an organization, our chief sales officer, doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I want to buy sales training.
Yeah.
I mean, he or she wakes up in the morning and says, oh, my God, you know, where are we going to get the numbers? How can we get more orders in faster? How can we increase our average order size? How can we, you know, they're focused on these business metrics that they're being measured on.
Right.
And
yeah, I don't know.
Our job is to start using those business metrics.
Yeah, because I don't know too many people who stay up at night going, gee, I really wish Jill would call me tomorrow so she could offer me some sales training.
And
that'd be really neat.
A full range of sales training for all my sales training needs.
Right. I don't think they're sitting there going, gee, I really wish I could find somebody to call and offer me a product or service that, you know, I'm really not thinking about at the time. I'm busy like a business owner is probably sitting up at night, gee, how am I going to keep the doors open? How am I going to attract the target audience that I want to attract so they'll come in and buy more of my stuff, or maybe they'll spend more on my product? How do I climb those hurdles? Not, you know, gee, I sure wish the phone would ring. Somebody would offer me a new phone system or you know, something along those lines.
Right.
We're almost up on our second break. We got just a couple minutes. You talk in the book about everybody's told to create an elevator speech.
Yeah.
Do you feel those are even useful anymore?
I feel that they're useful in networking situations as long as you aren't cutesy about it. I mean, I really don't love cutesy at all, and too many people spend hours trying to craft a clever way of saying who they are and what they do.
Right.
If you're going after the corporate market, you're not going to find those people at most business networking events.
Exactly.
Because they're too busy.
Right.
I mean, they're too busy. They don't go there. If they're networking, they're networking with somebody in the other division,
mm-hmm.
or they're networking with somebody in accounts payable, you know, or HR within
right.
the company that they don't know. And so it is nice to have one. Should you spend a great deal of time in angst over crafting the perfect one? The answer is no. What you should be able to say real quickly is, for example, what I would say is I work with B2B sellers who are struggling to crack into corporate accounts.
Bingo.
And that's it. B2B sellers, business-to-business salespeople who are struggling to crack into corporate accounts. And that's enough for a business meeting, you know, a networking function.
Right. Well, we are up on our second break. You are listening to the Bauer Power Hour. Our guest today is Jill Conrath. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about value propositions, but we're also going to talk about how you get into the really big accounts, and then also what you need to say once we've already talked about the value proposition, but we're also going to talk about the motivation that decision makers have for talking with someone who's selling products or services. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bauer Power Hour.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
SMB Consulting helps businesses attract a greater share of their target audience, which means generating more leads and ultimately increasing sales. Your business will benefit from proven marketing techniques customized to meet your needs and deliver your business's message to those who wish to receive it most. Whether you need a fresh marketing plan developed, greater strategic focus, or search engine optimization campaigns, SMB will be there every step of the way to help you achieve the results you desire. Don't let your competition get the upper hand. Contact a marketing consultant today by visiting our website at SMBConsultingInc.com or emailing info@SMBConsultingInc.com.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune into Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
No matter what your business is, your company's employees are your most valuable assets. Corporate mentoring cultivates and strengthens your employees' skills and talents so that everyone benefits. Tune in every Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, to Mentoring Matters. Mentoring in today's business world with hosts Rainey Petrin and Dave Carson, and discover what a mentoring program can do for you and your company.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You've been listening to the Bauer Power Hour with host Roger Bauer. If you have a question or comment for Roger or his guest, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790.
That's 1-866-472-5790.
Now, back to Roger and the Bauer Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Bauer Power Hour. We are talking today with Jill Conrath, and we're talking about selling to big companies. Before the break, we were talking about value propositions, and I want to touch a little bit more on that before we move on a little further. Jill, talk about believable value propositions, because you'll see people that think they've crafted this great value proposition or unique selling proposition, and it's way inflated, like, oh, we can increase your revenues by 2,000%. Call today. Talk a little bit about, you know,
decision. Let's talk about sleaze artists, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about the people who really just overhype their stuff, and there's no way that they're going to be able to deliver on what they promise. Talk about believable value propositions and then realistic ones, more importantly.
Okay. I think what we all have to realize is that the corporate decision maker has this BS index.
Right.
That is on, you know, anytime they're talking to somebody from another company who is trying to ask their time, the BS index is on, you know, it's on. And it's the minute they hear certain words, it you know, sends the index flying into salesperson, you know, into that territory.
Right.
And so,
what are some of those words?
Anything that describes your product in a cool way, you know, any adjective or adverb that you might say, like state of the art, leading edge, robust, industry leading. It's like anything. First of all, that you brag about,
right?
Where it sounds like you're bragging about your product or service is literally a BS indicator, and So you have to strip any words that, you know, your marketing department might tell you to use if you're in a bigger company, but anything that looks like you're trying to sell them, you know, by
right.
convince them that your stuff is better than other people's. And so, like, I would never say that I offer, you know, the industry-leading sales training for how to, you know, get your foot in the door of big companies, because the minute I'd say industry-leading,
right.
their BS indicator would go flying off the charts, and I'd be dismissed. And the reality of it is the minute the BS indicator goes off, if you're in the voicemail jungle still, you're deleted. Or if you're talking to a person, they throw up an obstacle or an objection for you. And so you have to eliminate anything that sounds like you might be bragging about your company. And that's the hardest thing that people have to do, is
right.
to get rid of any of that nice stuff about it, because they think they're supposed to persuade you. But
yeah, I think it's also one of those things. We've been conditioned with all the marketing messages we receive and that we've received for years. You see stuff on television or radio, and they've got that industry-leading bleeding edge, you know, things of that nature. So we think, oh, that's how you market.
We think really that's how you market.
Right. And that's not the way you market to big companies or even medium-sized companies, because like you say, and we talked in the previous segment, that decision maker you have on the phone is not sitting up at night going, oh, I wish somebody would call and offer me some leading edge or bleeding edge technology tomorrow. They're thinking, how can you increase my revenue, cut
right.
my cost,
right.
or minimize my exposure to risk? That's
right.
really all they're worried
That's
about.
That's all they're thinking about. And so, you know, you said something about increased revenue or sales 2,000%.
Right.
What the thing that I found too, first of all, a value proposition has to have some movement in. So something has to either get better or get worse, speed up or slow
right.
down. without that movement word, you're not describing the impact. Because what
right.
you're trying to do is get people to switch, you know, what they're doing. And so you have to get, something has to get better or, you know, move toward a metric that they're trying to achieve. And then I found, too, in today's world that if you are using a broad business objective like increased sales is
right.
really too broad.
Okay. Give me
people.
A couple examples of good
okay,
value proposition statements.
So what I could say instead is like if I maybe was a web company, I could increase sales conversion rates on
right.
a website. And that's a
right.
more finite... it's a more finite term that's more believable.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody says increase sales, cut costs. And so,
right.
again, you know, if you want to step out of the ordinary and become believable, then how do you help them increase sales? Well, you help them increase their sales conversion rates. Or you
mm-hmm.
help them increase their average order size. Or you help them shorten the time to customer.
Right.
Or increase share of customer.
Right.
And drive more business from one customer. I mean, what you need to do is to focus on a finite subset of the increased sales or cut costs. Everybody says cut costs, too, but what kind of costs do you cut? Labor
right.
costs, okay? What kind of labor costs? Overtime, you know? I mean, we've been able
yeah.
to reduce overtime by 62%. You know, that's more believable than cut costs.
Right. Yeah, because you call and say, oh, we can cut costs, and, you know, it's going to be one of those... The BS meter is going to go off. It's going to say, "Oh, we can cut costs, you know, by 15% per week, or you know, something
yes.
like." Okay, yeah, right. Okay,
right.
I'm
so
done
so
with
you,
this.
So you
person.
Focus on the subset, you know. And for example, I was working with a company that did some waste removal, and they were able to reduce waste, you know, waste cost. I mean, they were very specific about waste cost. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's where they were, you know. They were able to reduce that percentage of it and make an impact that would return 1% on something. But they were very finite about it. The other thing, too, is in terms of numbers to use. And, again, numbers are helpful
mm-hmm.
if they don't feel out of whack.
Right.
And
I was going to say, you almost want to under-promise and be able to over-deliver as opposed to, you know, you over-promise and you come in there's no way you're going to be able to win. That client's not going to be happy at the end of a project because you said, oh, we can reduce your cost by 50% in, you know, HR or hiring cost.
Yeah.
And you come in and let's say maybe you are successful and you only cut them by 40%. Well, you've set the expectation that it's going to be 50%. So they're going to go, you didn't do what you said you were
That's
going
right.
to do.
That's right. That's right.
It's a double-edged sword.
Be there.
Right. But talk about when you're attempting to sell to a large company, who is the seller's toughest competitor?
Whatever they're doing today, whoever they're using right now to do the, you know, to handle their needs. And so,
more or less,
the
status quo is this.
Absolutely.
Toughest. Yeah.
And you know why? What a lot of people don't realize is how busy the corporate decision maker is today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he or she. I think research. One study I saw last year showed that each person in a corporate, you know, leadership position, manager, had like 59 hours of work sitting on his or her desk at any one time. I mean,
right.
59 hours.
Wow.
I mean, just think of that. I mean, when I have that much work that I know has to get done, and I've got deadlines looming, and I go to, you know, my day is booked with meetings, and I just get more work added on. I mean, I am so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Living in that world, and so. What people don't understand is that the corporate decision maker isn't just sitting at his or her desk, you know, shuffling papers and signing approvals. I mean, their day is already full with all the everyday chaos that they've got going on. And new things creep up overnight. And these poor people, they've been downsized and right-sized to death in most organizations, or they won't hire an additional person until the workload becomes so overwhelming
yeah.
that one person collapses under it. And so they don't want to change unless they absolutely have to. If the problem is if it's a problem, they don't want to change until it's leaking so badly that they can't just put it, you know, up their finger in the dike to hold out the water. They'll
right.
when it gets really, really, really bad. And unfortunately, that creates additional costs, and it costs them a lot more over time. But they're not going to initiate change because anytime they initiate doing something or talk to a salesperson, they like what they have to say, that just adds more work to their already overloaded plate.
Right.
And that they don't want more work.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I was going to say that even my little small organization, I feel that way every day because it's, oh, wow, there's so many projects on the the horizon and so many that I'm involved with, and I'm dealing with so many different people at one time that when somebody does call and wants to sell me something, I'm to the point where it's like, hey, I appreciate you're trying to prospect the organization. I've been in your shoes. In a way, I feel like, hey, I ought to give you the respect to listen to you, but at the same time, I'm like, you need to get to the point quick.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the time to talk to you, and also, if you don't tell me something within the first 10 seconds of our conversation that's got my attention, then chances are I'm going to look, I'm really busy, I got to go.
Yep.
And that's the position that these decision makers are in, so it's not necessarily, oh, well, they're giving me the brush off. They don't have time to listen to you.
They don't have time to listen to you.
You got to stand out.
Yep.
Right.
And that's why you have to get to that value proposition and get it out real fast and knock off all those, you know, fancy, you know, beautiful words that make you think, you know, you sound wonderful. I mean, that's
exactly
to the point.
When sellers are having difficulty getting into large organizations, this kind of ties in with what we're just talking about, is there generally a root cause for the lack of success?
First of all, it starts out with their inability to articulate their value proposition. And
okay.
they're talking about things from the standpoint of our company does, you know, or we offer a full range of services to meet your every need. And so the root cause, I think, first of all, starts with not being able to talk about their product and service from the customer standpoint.
Right.
And that's why, you know, when you said about the pricing thing at the beginning, it came back to we have to go back before the pricing thing because everything you say creates that. And you,
right.
You know, by not talking about it, right. The second thing I would say is that most sellers give up way too early when trying to reach a corporate decision maker.
Exactly.
And
well, let's hold that for just a moment. We're up on our little break here.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk more about we're really hammering the value propositions, but we'll also talk about. I want to ask Jill why she believes more women haven't written more best-selling sales books, because I know that women can outsell the men. So I want to get into that when we come back, and we'll also wrap some things up. But you are listening to the Bauer Power Hour. Our guest today is Jill Conrath. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
SMB Consulting helps businesses attract a greater share of their target audience, which means generating more leads and ultimately increasing sales. Your business will benefit from proven marketing techniques customized to meet your needs and deliver your business's message to those who wish to receive it most. Whether you need a fresh marketing plan developed, greater strategic focus, or search engine optimization campaigns, SMB will be there every step of the way to help you achieve the results you desire. Don't let your competition get the upper hand. Contact a marketing consultant today by visiting our website at SMBConsultingInc.com or emailing info@SMBConsultingInc.com.
Link up with Chris Curtis on WebWise Business and discover the millionaire in you.
It's easy, 1, 2, 3.
If it's the web you want, it's the web we've got, and it's the chic geek bringing it to you live. Tune in to WebWise Business every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Radio Network.
Get your click on. Get your click on
with the Chic Geek.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You've been listening to the Bauer Power Hour with host Roger Bauer. If you have a question or comment for Roger or his guest, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790.
That's 1-866-472-5790.
Now, back to Roger and the Bauer Power Hour.
Welcome back to the Bauer Power Hour. We are talking today with Jill Conrath, and we are on our last segment, so we're going to have to put a lid on the show here very shortly. But before the break, we were talking about value propositions and getting to the point quickly once you have decision makers on the phone. Jill, talk a little bit more about, as a seller begins to think about selling to a big company, what's the best way to start?
The best way to start is to identify a few big companies that you want to go after and then do research on them. And,
and what kinds of things are we looking for when we do this research?
Well, what you're looking for is you're trying to find your entry point. Where is the easiest entry point in an organization? If you take a look at a big corporation, and 3M is in my backyard, was a great client of mine for many years. I mean, 3M is a huge multi-billion-dollar corporation, and it's composed of at least six divisions, business units, although sometimes it fluctuates based on who's the leader and
right.
how they structure their organization. But, it has these business units, and within each of these business units, which are multi-billion-dollar companies in and of themselves, within that there are multiple operating, groups. And so you break it down, you take this business unit, and you go, okay, well, the safety and security business unit is composed of transportation safety, library and security systems, store, retail markets. And you look into those operating units.
Mm-hmm.
To find a company or an entry point into the larger organization. And so it's really, breaking it down to find out where the easiest place for you to get in. Most sellers will say, well, I'll call HR, or I'll call marketing. And they'll go after corporate marketing or corporate HR, and that's much harder to get in there because that's where you run into the strongest and most entrenched relationships in the organization.
Right.
But if you go after the library, library securities division of the safety and security business unit of 3M, then you're talking about a much smaller entity, and you can get your foot in the door. And the reality mm-hmm. of it is when you get into big accounts as a smaller organization, you need to get in.
Right.
You need to get in. Once you get in, then you have a reason to talk with them, over and over. So you have to find your entry point in a smaller part of the organization. It's just easier.
As I say, one of the things that I've found that's effective, and it makes it kind of easy to see what the direction of the company is read the letter from the CEO to the shareholders.
Yeah.
And see what it is that he has on his plate, because chances are, if he's a good and effective leader, he's going to relay that message to every one of his subordinates and people that report to him, and that should matriculate through the organization. And everybody should be at least, okay, here's our goals for the year, here's our goals for 3 to 5 years, because this is what the CEO is telling the shareholders, so we better produce.
Right.
So that's one of the good places to start when you're prospecting a big organization. And a lot of companies, a lot of sales reps will pick up the phone, they'll do their cold call, or they'll send a letter or whatever it is to try to get in the organization, and they think that once they get in there, I'll just wing it.
Yep.
So many of them think, oh, I want the appointment because, I got my boss is busting me. He's on my back. I've got to get an appointment so that way he'll know that, oh, I'm doing my activity and, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So they go into these big corporations and they blow it because they think they can just walk in there and wing it, and that isn't going to work.
It doesn't work at all, and the reality of it is that there is a price of admission to larger corporations, and the price of admission is the investment of your time prior to initiating the call. So
right.
That the call in and of itself separates you and separates you from all those other dialing for dollars, people that are trying to get an appointment, demonstrates that you've invested time, shows your expertise, and ties what you say into a critical issue that the company is addressing. And
right.
all that takes time. You cannot do that just by picking up the phone and dialing for dollars. And it's not a function of activity level if you're going after the corporate market. It's a function
right.
of depth, and it's a function of relevancy and making sure that what you say is highly relevant at all times. And it's a function of even showing that you're current, that you understand what's happening in the company at this moment in time and have
right.
some ideas to help them achieve whatever those business objectives are, goals that they've set, what you might read about in the newspaper, what you might read about in the annual report, that kind of thing.
Right. Now, kind of segueing with that, what's your view on the use of email? Do you think it works? And what are some common ways to improve an email message so that you actually get a response?
I think email is absolutely something that people who sell should be leveraging today if they want to get into the corporate market for multiple reasons. Number one, because a lot of people are traveling and never in the office. Number
mm-hmm.
two, because that is some people's preferred way of dealing with other people. And
right.
so I think you need to leverage the phone as well as email and, you know, in terms of a 1-2 punch. The reality of it is it's going to take likely, you know, it could take 8 to 10 contacts before you actually get something set up with a person. But if you look
right.
at email, let me talk about the biggest mistakes that salespeople make if they use email. They try to sell. They try
mm-hmm.
to take all those words that we just talked about that you have to eliminate. And try to throw them in there that we're a full-service company. We have a unique methodology. We've worked with a number of firms in your area, such as this. We can handle all your blank needs from this to this. And they try to throw it all in, thinking that that will, you know, if they throw all this mud at a prospect, that something will stick.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that the more things that you throw into an email, the less likely it is to have the result that you want. It actually boomerangs against you. And people sit when they're reading email with their finger on the delete button, you know?
Right.
And they're reading it, and the minute it sounds like a spammed letter that was sent to some, you know, that could have been sent to anybody, it's delete. Delete, delete,
mm-hmm.
delete. You know how fast you go through your emails? Those people in big companies, they have like 135 emails a day.
Right. And a lot of these decision makers have an assistant that's instructed, you know, weed
right.
out any sales stuff, weed
yep.
out any BS, get
right.
rid of the spam.
That's
so, you
exactly
know, the assistant's just, she's looking for those buzzwords, too. It's like, oh, okay, seller, 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 delete, delete, delete.
Delete,
but,
delete, 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 delete,
yeah.
delete. That's how fast they go, delete, delete, delete. So the only thing that will work is to have something. Oh, and by the way, I believe over half of the people now read their email in the preview box.
Yes.
Without even
yeah.
opening up the email. They just, you know, keep it in the preview. They take a quick look and delete, delete, delete.
Yeah.
And so what you
I'm
need to do.
I'm guilty of that.
As a seller, is your whole message has to fit in the preview window.
Right.
Which means you have to be probably 75 to 100 words or less.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to ask you the tough question. I hope you have an answer. If you don't, that's okay. Why do you believe more women haven't written best-selling sales books? Because this is not, I don't want to offend the guys either, but I truly believe women can outsell men because they take it from a different approach. And also, a lot of decision makers today are becoming women, and a lot of guys will
no,
go
wait,
in
No, wait,
with...
wait, wait, wait. Decision makers don't become women. They either are
well,
women
yeah,
or they are
Yeah,
they're
I apologize. Poor wording there, but I was going to say decision makers more and more are women, so that's becoming more prevalent. And guys come in there with that, oh, hey, Jill, how are you? And, you know, they come in with that voice, and immediately a woman is taken back to say, this guy's selling me something. I don't want to talk to him. But women understand you'll talk to another woman before you will that salesy man type. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things in there. And partly it's like if you take a look at the, you know, many of the best-selling books, a lot of them are written by old white men.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of them. And I literally mean it. They're old white men. They're 55, you know, to 70 years old. And you still see Harvey McKay on there. And he's, you know, over 70. Or,
right.
Or Harry Beckwith is over 60. You know, I mean, a lot of the people are old white men, and
right.
they have the staying power of having books that have been around for a long time. I think, so first of all, why aren't there a lot of women? Because most of the people on there are older white men. They're
right.
not even younger white men. And when I was growing up in sales, I was like in the first batch of women that were hired into the corporate sales world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because the company I was with was forced to hire women. And so you don't have a lot of women who come from a strong sales background that are in that age group. And secondarily, I think women don't have wives at home and weren't able to take that sales training route as many of the guys do, where they're on the road all the time because they have kids and they stayed home.
Right.
So many of the women didn't do that. They didn't follow the path of being the sales trainer who was out speaking and training because it didn't fit with their family life. And I can say the same for me. I didn't start becoming a public figure till after my kids were able to drive, you know, quite literally. And so that's part of it. And third of all, you'll laugh when I say this. Women are great at sales, but they don't have a huge need to be, how can I say this nicely? You write a book and it makes you like a star in some ways, and women don't have a need to do that.
Right.
So they haven't written the book and they think, well, what do I have to say that's any different? And so they won't necessarily write the book unless they really have something good to say. And I wouldn't have written a general sales book. I wrote a book because my business tanked and I needed to get into big companies again. I would never have written another sales, just a regular consultative selling book. There's already one out there. There's already a lot of good ones. Why do we need another one with, you know, my name on it?
And well, real quick, because we are up against the close of the show. Tell people how they can get a hold of you real quick.
SellingToBigCompanies.com. That's the first place to start. They can download a couple chapters of my book there, SellingToBigCompanies.com, and the book is Selling to Big Companies as well. And I would suggest they go there.
Okay. Well,
a lot of good
Jill, I want to thank you. We've had a great show. This has flown by. It's been a lot of fun. You've been listening to the Bauer Power Hour. Please join us next week where we'll have another power-packed sales and marketing conversation with a well-known guru and expert in the field. And I appreciate you joining us today and also appreciate Jill Conrad for joining us. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. I am out.
Thanks for joining the Bauer Power Hour. Be sure to tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, as Roger Bauer shares strategies on how to improve a company's marketing message. Until then, you can visit Roger's website at smbconsultinginc.com. We'll see you back here next week.